Welcome to our Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study. And so excited to be here. I hope you are as well. And for those that are here and not watching on Facebook, Miss Lee Ellen is handing out a piece of paper to everyone because we're having a pop quiz tonight. We are having a pop quiz. Yes, yes, I told you this has been classroom style.
I never did well.
And no cheating on your neighbor's paper, please. we've been, for about, this is about our fourth lesson, and we've been looking at defending your faith, and so tonight we're just going to give a little pop quiz, and it's 10 questions, and so as I ask the questions, you can jot them down, and then that will be your notes from our first study on Jehovah Witnesses. And so pardon me for just a moment. I didn't get rid of the mint in time. And so anyway, we'll do that in just a few moments. And but nonetheless, it's so good to be here tonight, midweek. I want to thank you personally that are here for coming on Wednesday nights. Those watching on Facebook, we understand everyone can't be here. But I just want to encourage those that are watching to come and be part of our Wednesday night Bible study. There are some that can come that are not coming. And again, we understand those that can't come. And we're glad that we have this avenue of Facebook Live. But really want to encourage our church people to come out on Wednesday nights and be part of what God is doing, and so it's not just church on Sundays, but we have church on Wednesdays, and so please come and be part of this ministry here to church and support your church, and so we all need to support our church, and thank you for those who are supporting the church tonight. We want to dive right into our prayer request, and so. We will turn it over to you for any updates or praises in just a moment. But let's continue to remember Miss Claudia Darby in our prayers. Some breathing issues she's been having, as most know, she has some breathing problems. But let's remember her. Let's also remember Miss Ashton tonight. She was in the ER earlier today, and I believe. If I can remember what Brother Randy told me, she has pleurisy. Pleurisy. And it's a type of breathing condition in the some struggles of breathing, some pain in the chest area, I think. Fluid. Okay, so let's remember Ashton, she is home. But we told Brother Randy we will mention Ashton in our prayers. And so remember her. And let's continue to remember Brother Jack Henderson. Has anybody heard from him? Brother Don Nettles, have you?
I've talked to him. He's doing okay right now.
Okay.
But still got to do some procedures. If they can't go up through the artery, they didn't get to do that and straighten out that valve, they will have to do all the procedures.
Okay.
He's not going to probably die at all.
No. Well, let's remember him and Miss Jackie. Brother Harold Dolph, let's remember him. He was here this past Sunday morning, and what a blessing it was to see him. Leonard, Dolores Palmer, Brother Leonard, and in our prayers for his eyes, and Miss Dolores as his support. And so you guys are watching tonight. We're praying for you. We love you. Ruby Harper in her recovery from heart surgery. And good to see Ed and Marianne Sandby with us. And good to see Brother Ed and his smile. And Miss Marianne and her smile. And so you guys have been through a lot. And you're still smiling. And so that's a blessing. That's a picture of God's grace. That's what God can do. You know, I was thinking today actually about God's grace. That it's not necessarily something you can feel, is it? There's times. But for the most part, it's just God getting you through. It's the ability to take another step when you don't want to, but you find yourself still taking those steps. And so you guys are an inspiration. Keep on moving forward. We're here for you. James and Shirley Townsend, I believe they're both having breathing difficulties. And so let's remember them. And it's good to have Brother Don Nettles back with us. He had some breathing difficulties. And so we're just thankful he's back with us. But let's remember those with breathing difficulties. Chuck and C.C. Prestridge, Miss C.C. texted me on the way to church. Brother Chuck is in the ER, a shoulder injury. And he stood right here on Sunday and told me, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Brother Chuck told me, he said, I just don't have time to go to the doctor. My shoulder is hurting, it's killing me. I just don't have time for it. Well, he's at the doctor now. And Miss CeCe said he's in severe pain and all. So let's remember them tonight in our prayers. Johnny and Pat Eccles, of course, they've been back with us. The passing of her brother a couple weeks ago. And, excuse me, my voice. Mary Kelly, continue to remember her. And our children's home. And Miss BJ, where's Miss BJ? There she is. I'm used to seeing you over here. Your knee still doing good? All right, good deal. Good deal. And let's remember the Dailies. Let's remember also Rebecca Ashworth and John Ashworth as he continues to recover from his physical ailments. Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, and Brother Randy as he has completed his treatments, as it was mentioned last Sunday morning, but that the Lord would have his hand upon him as he continues to recover and put some weight on, from what I hear. He's down to about 150 pounds, and so let's remember him. Of course, that's the brother-in-law of Brother Snyder. And the Tidwells, David and Glenda Henderson, of course, they're back with us. And glad they're better, but also Claude, how's he? Is he not that well? Okay, let's remember their friend, close friend Claude, and in our prayers tonight. Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, all the Rich family members, let's remember them. Claudia Darby, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton. Got a phone call today from Randy Ely and Miss Diane's brother that we've been praying for so long passed away. Passed away Monday. And so let's remember them as they prepare for his funeral. And speaking of his funeral, it's going to be in Canton, Georgia at, I'm trying to read my own handwriting here, at, I want to say Ingalls Funeral Home, Ingram's Funeral Home. In Canton, Georgia, 4 to 8 on Friday, 9 to 11 on Saturday, 11 is the service. But let's remember them and the passing of her brother. Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, all of our two young people that's serving in the military, James Tolan Brown and Peyton Cochran, let's remember them. And also remember, on the 24th will be our Youth Sunday. Brother Brian in the morning will be preaching. Brother CJ at night, our evening service, will be preaching. And then on the 31st, Trunk or Treat, our outreach, community outreach, and our sign-up sheets over here. Participate in that if you can, and it'll be a great time. All right, opening the floor up to you guys. Anything to mention, any updates, any prayer requests, Miss Glenda? Sure will. Yes. Let's remember this tonight. Anybody else? All right. right. Let's remember our young people this evening down below, and our teachers, and just ask the Lord to give us a good time of Bible study tonight and prayer. Keep us safe as we worship in the church. I know that sounds crazy, but nowadays you got to make it a matter of prayer for protection as we worship. All right, all that would, if all hearts are cleared, all that would and desire to meet us in the altar, we'll have a time of silent prayer, and then we'll get ready to take our test, our quiz. I know I kind of popped this on you. That's why it's called a pop quiz. But does everybody have a pen or something to write with? If not, just follow along. And so wanted you to have some kind of notes. Really, that's the main thing. And so what I did was today I went through and just came up with 10 things. 10 things from the Jehovah Witnesses. And and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the questions, and if someone knows the answer, just shout it out. And if you don't, I'll give the answer, and you can write the answers in, and then you'll have something to refer to from our lesson on our lessons on Jehovah Witnesses. But before we get into that, just in case, of course, there may be some watching that really don't know what we're referring to. And so if you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And again, this will be our fourth lesson on the topic of defending your faith. And the first lesson, we looked at the need to defend our faith. And then lesson number two, lesson number three, we spent those two times talking about what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. And that is one of the cult religions in our community that's everywhere. And through prayer and asking the Lord for direction, we're going to cover three cult religions. And it's Jehovah Witnesses, Mormonism, that's going to be tonight, and then Islam. And then we'll probably bring the series to a close for a while and just take a time to digest it all. And in saying that, I realize that we've said a whole lot, and it's hard to probably catch some of the things we were saying. So So again, in just a moment, we're going to read off some questions, and this is covering the Jehovah's Witnesses. And just jot them down. If you know the answer, say it out loud. If not, I'll give it to you. But in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And we've actually took this series and developed this series out of that word answer, because the word answer there means, in the Greek, it means apologia, and basically it's a defense. And so Peter is telling us to defend the faith. Give an answer when someone asks. Be ready to give an answer. Allow the Lord to be number one in your life. Have His rightful position so that you can be ready to give that answer. And again, we're living in a time and in history where there are many, many cult religions in our communities who are trying to veer people away from the truth of God's Word and who God is. And Satan is trying to get his biggest work accomplished, I believe, through these cult religions. And so tonight, defending the faith. And that's where we've taken our thought process, is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And again, we looked at Jehovah's Witnesses. And so here we go with our pop quiz. Everybody have their papers? Okay, if you have a pen or pencil, that's good. If not, just make mental notes. Number one, if anyone knows this answer, just say it out loud. Who was the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses? Okay, Charles Taze Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Thank you for that. And again, I realized that in that two-part study of Jehovah's Witnesses, I said a whole lot. And so I'm definitely not trying to stump anybody. Now, what's the Jehovah's Witnesses' official verse? Anybody know? Anybody at all? The official verse of the Jehovah's Witnesses is Isaiah 43:10. Ms. Chair has notes. Okay. Isaiah 43:10. And you can go back and read that later. Number three, when were the Jehovah's Witnesses founded? Anybody know? 1884, down here on the front row, Ms. That's right. 1884, my birthday. My birthday year. I feel like it sometimes. Everybody good? Number four. And some of these are really easy. It's just for the purpose of writing them down. What magazine do the Jehovah's Witnesses hand out? Watchtower. A Watchtower. That's right. And I think this is helpful because when we're out and about, you know, you may be going to the grocery store, you may be making some errands and run into one. And in the beginning, you may think they're of like faith. But as they begin to talk, they may use, hey, take this Watchtower. Hey, you know, read Isaiah 43:10. That's who we are. So it's just to help, better help equip you for that time when you're to defend the faith. So the Watchtower is the magazine that they read, they hand out. Number five, what Bible do they use? What Bible? What's that? Yeah, what? New World Translation. Both of you are right. They use their own, and it's the New World Translation. And let me just point out, and you can make a note as there, right beside that if you like, that in John chapter 1, verse 1, the version they put together says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." A God. Verse 14, the Bible says in the King James Bible, verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." So they're trying to do away with who Jesus is. And so the New World Translation is their Bible they use. John 1:1 is a big verse there, the letter A. Number 6, this is true or false. The Jehovah Witnesses believe in the Trinity. True or false? False. False. Number 7, true or false. The Jehovah Witnesses believe God is everywhere. False. Very good. Y'all are doing good. All right. Number 8, true or false. The Jehovah Witnesses believe each day of creation was 7,000 years. True or false? True. True. And we believe that each day of creation was 24 literal hours, was one day. Lord didn't need 7,000 years, did he? All right. So the Jehovah Witnesses believe each day of creation was 7,000 years. True. One more, true or false. The Jehovah Witnesses believe at death, the soul stays within the body and sleeps. True or false? True. The Jehovah Witnesses believe at death, the soul stays within the body and sleeps. So they ultimately believe that if you do not do enough good and represent Jehovah with the representation he deserves, then you will suffer annihilation. You will be in soul sleep forever. That's just one of the avenues in their beliefs. Sad, isn't it? We believe that the body and soul are two separate things. And the moment a person dies, their soul either goes to heaven or hell. And we touched on that Sunday night with the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. All right, number 10, last one. Very hard question. How is salvation obtained within the Jehovah Witnesses? Is it through good works or grace? Very good. Very good. See, that wasn't too bad. And, you know, there's so much you can mention, but I just think with this brief list of questions, it at least, you know, give you some kind of idea. And you can go from there. But again, I want to go to the list. Number 1, who was the founder? Charles Taze Russell. Number 2, official verse, Isaiah 43:10. Number 3, when were they founded? 1884. Number 4, what magazine do they hand out? The Watchtower. Number 5, what Bible do they use? The New World Translation. Number 6, the Jehovah Witnesses believe in the Trinity. False. Number 7, the Jehovah Witnesses believe God is everywhere. False. Number 8, the Jehovah Witnesses believe each day of creation was 7,000 years. True. Number 9, the Jehovah Witnesses believe at death, the soul stays within the body and sleeps. True. And then number 10, the Jehovah Witnesses believe salvation is obtained by good works. All right. How did you do tonight? Did okay? If you did okay, that's pretty good because I mentioned a whole lot. And so that will be your notes for the Jehovah Witnesses aspect. Tonight, let's look at the Mormons for a little while. The Mormons. I've condensed this down to 4 points about the Mormons, the truth of the Mormons. All right. Of course, you've got your paper and pen if you want to make some notes. But we'll give a pop quiz on this one too. All right. Who's the founder of the Mormons? The founder of the Mormons is Joseph Smith. He was born on December the 23rd, 1805, in Sharon, Vermont. Joseph Smith organized the Mormon Church in 1830 at Fayette, New York. The church was called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In June of 1831, the Mormons settled in Missouri, but were unwanted and driven out of the state of New York. And then the Mormons, after that, they fled to Illinois, and there Joseph Smith was arrested for gross immorality and counterfeiting. So when they fled from the state of New York, they went to Illinois, and Joseph Smith was arrested there. Next, he was killed by a mob that stormed the jail where he was held. So he was killed in jail. Now get this. Joseph Smith had 28 wives. Man. 28 wives, and we ain't going to say no more. Enough is said on that one. That is a lot of responsibility. All right, so that's a little bit tonight about the founder of the Mormons. And this isn't going to take that long, and I hope I don't breeze through it too fast. So I'll slow it down a little bit so you can make some notes. Point number two, that's the founder. Point number two, the claim of the Mormons. What do they claim? Mormons claim to be the restoration of the true church established by Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? The Jehovah Witnesses think they're the true church. And so the Mormons think they're the true church. We think and we know we are the true church. So what's different from them and us? Well, what's different from them and us is they created their own Bible. And we believe that God created the King James Bible for the English-speaking man. Of course, we know it goes back further than that. And we believe that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the apostles and holy men, and they wrote down the scriptures as God would have them to. And so they formed their own Bible. We did not. We were inherited God's word. So that's the claim, that they are the restored true church by Jesus. Number two, they claim if it had not been for Joseph Smith and his restoration, there would be no salvation. There is no salvation, they say, outside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so that's their claim. And then we looked at their founder. Number three, the next big point, is the Mormon source of authority. What's their source of authority? Well, Mormons believe the canon of Scripture has never been closed, or the Bible is not complete. It's open to new revelations. Okay? They also teach the Bible is not absolute authority, and neither final nor complete in its revelations. It's how they feel about our Bible tonight. Mormons believe the president of the church is like unto Moses, a seer, a revelator, a translator, and a prophet. He speaks with as much authority as does the Bible or any other accepted sacred books. And so the president or presidents, those in leadership in their church, they speak with as much authority as the Scriptures. That's scary grounds tonight, very scary grounds for the Mormon church. All right, the Mormons believe that after John the Apostle's death in 90 AD, there was no revelations or divinely approved ministries until Joseph Smith. This means there was no true church from 90 AD through 1830 AD. So again, just lifting up their leader. The Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is considered more sacred than the Bible. Joseph Smith reported, and I mentioned this in a sermon on a Wednesday night, a message about a month ago. Joseph Smith reported seeing his first heavenly vision in 1820 in New York. After this, there followed a series of visitations from a resurrected personage, personage named Moroni, M-O-R-O-N-I, Moroni. On September 22nd, 1827, Smith was given golden plates written with Reformed Egyptian characters, which was translated into what is now known as the Book of Mormon. In May of 1829, John the Baptist appeared, get this, ordained Joseph Smith to the Aaronic priesthood. So John the Baptist came back and ordained Smith. How about that? In June of that same year, 1829, in June of that same year, Peter, James, and John came to Smith and conferred upon him the Melchizedek priesthood. And that's a whole other study within itself, but basically has pronounced him a priest. This is an interesting note. The Smithsonian Institution has published that no ancient Egyptian writings which Smith claimed to have found have ever been discovered in America. So those plates with the Egyptian characters, which he called, the Book of Mormon, never existed. The plates never existed, at least in the Smithsonian Institution. So it's all a lie coming from him. All right, that's the Mormon sources of authority, is the Book of Mormon. And then we're going to spend a few moments on the next point, which is point number four, I believe. This is the last point, but it's a little bit longer than the others. The doctrines of the Mormons. The doctrines. We know they created the Book of Mormon, but what do they believe about God? Well, Mormons believe in many gods. Mormons believe that God existed as a man and then became a god. Mormons teach he, God, was perhaps once a child and mortal like we ourselves, and rose step by step in the scale of progress. According to Mormon teaching, all men can become a god. So all of us men tonight, if we progress in our spirituality, we can become a god. It's what they teach. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's heresy. Mormons teach the gods have multiple wives. Mormons teach that God could not be a father unless a woman of like glory, perfection, and holiness was associated with him as a mother. They believe in heaven. They believe in heaven there are many gods who have their own wife or wives. So the Mormons, they believe this thing doesn't just end on earth, but it's up there too. They believe in heaven the gods have sexual relationships and beget spirit babies. This is where all men were first born. So we all were born first in heaven, okay, as spirit babies. They believe in heaven the gods have sexual relationships and beget spirit babies, and this is where all men were first born. Every person existed first as a spirit baby. This is one reason Mormons teach polygamy, so man can be fruitful and multiply and provide human bodies for the spirit babies to dwell in. And so that's the reason behind polygamy, is because heaven is filled with spirit babies that need bodies. And those babies can grow up and be gods. So that's what they believe about God, is that there's many gods. Now, what do they believe about the doctrine of Jesus? Mormons believe Christ was the firstborn spirit child of Elohim, or the God of Israel, or the God of creation and of all living life. Okay, he was the firstborn spirit child. They teach Jesus progressed into a God by his own obedience to the truth before his physical birth on earth. So before he was even born, he progressed into a God. They believe in the work of creation. Christ was aided by Michael the archangel. So Michael the archangel had a lot to do in creation. All right? Who do the Mormons teach was the father of Jesus? They teach the father of Christ was Adam. Christ was the offspring of Adam and Mary. Eve and Mary were two of Adam's many wives. So now, who was the brother of Jesus according to the Mormons? Mormons teach one of the other sons of God, or Adam, was Lucifer. So Lucifer is Jesus' brother according to the Mormons. He is the spirit brother of Jesus. So that's his brother is Lucifer, and Adam is his dad. Now the next is a question, was Jesus married? So this is the following facts about the Mormons concerning Jesus being married. Jesus was the bridegroom at the marriage of Cana of Galilee, to be brought into relation whereby he could see his seed. Marriage in a Mormon temple is mandatory to progress to become a god in Mormonism. Therefore, Jesus had to be married for himself to become a god. So Jesus was married according to them. But he wasn't married to just one woman. He was married to many. And the common thread, let me just read it. Jesus was the polygamous husband of Mary, Martha, and the other Mary, all of whom were married to him at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. So Jesus got married then to three women. That's what the Mormons believe. Jesus had children and became a father so he could see his seed before he was crucified. That's the doctrine they believe on Jesus. I'm telling you, it's out there. It's out there. It takes more faith to believe that than the Bible, being virgin born and all of the rest. Now, what about the doctrine of man? What do they believe about man? Mormons teach that man was, again, first a spirit child before he existed on earth. They believe the spirit children are given the right to choose good and evil. Their choice determines their later state. Example number one, Satan rebelled with a third of the spirit children and was kicked out of heaven. He will never have the right to progress into a god. Example number two, again, the spirit children choosing good and evil determines their later state. Example number two, the insane or afflicted people, the poor, are what they are as a result of choices they made in pre-mortal existence as spirit babies growing up in heaven. They believe because of choices made there, some are born lame, some are born crippled with maladies, different maladies. and so forth and so on. That's just so crazy to believe, so bad to believe. Who was Adam? The following is Mormon teaching about Adam. In his pre-mortal state, Adam was Michael the archangel. Before Adam got here, when he was there, he was Adam, or he was Michael the archangel. He was formed in the image of his spiritual father God. Adam was placed on earth in the Garden of Eden with one of his precarnate wives named Eve. All right. Mormons believe that man was commanded to multiply and reproduce bodies for the pre-existent spirit babies to dwell in, like we said earlier. Again, polygamy, many wives for all the spirit babies that are in heaven. A few more things about polygamy. The teaching of polygamy was given to Joseph Smith by a divine revelation and was published as a principal doctrine of the church in Salt Lake City, Utah, in 1852. And therefore became a law of the church. So it was a law to be a polygamist. Early Mormons and their leaders practiced polygamy. Joseph Smith had 28 wives. Brigham Young, 27. J.M. Grant had 5 wives. Ezra T. Benson had 4. H.C. Kimball had 18. All these men were top-notch leaders in Mormonism. So multiple wives. Okay, what do they believe as far as the doctrine of salvation? Mormon doctrine teaches salvation is a process with different stages, as with Jehovah's Witnesses. The following stages of salvation are believed by Mormons. The first stage is faith in Jesus. Jesus died to redeem man's body so he can have part in the resurrection. His death had only to do with redeeming man's physical body in the resurrection and accomplished nothing more. It's the only thing Jesus' death and resurrection accomplished. This resurrection is guaranteed to all, including beasts, birds, and fish will be resurrected. That's something else. The second stage of the doctrine of salvation is repentance. This is turning to the Mormon church and belief. Salvation can only be reached by performing the essential ordinances in continual obedience to Mormon laws. That's their repentance, is conforming to their church. The third stage is baptism by immersion. This is the most vital part of Mormon salvation and is the very gateway to heaven. Baptism is considered indispensable, for without it, there is no forgiveness of sin. It's the same thing that the Church of Christ believe, that baptism saves you. Mormons practice baptism for the dead because many have died not having an opportunity to hear and believe the Mormon faith. Many Mormons have been baptized for dead people dozens of times. How about that? They get baptized so that the dead could be saved by their beliefs. Now, what do they believe concerning heaven? That salvation, what about heaven? According to Mormon belief, heaven has 3 different levels. And I want to say something about the 3 levels of heaven after I read this. The first level is for non-Mormons. This is for those who never received their gospel but chose to live wickedly. They will never know God's presence but will serve as slaves in the first level of heaven. Non-Mormons. All right? The second level of heaven, according to the Mormons, this is for those who accept their gospel after they arrive into the spirit world. This is for those who were good and honorable but were blinded to the truth. They were without law or without the truth. The second level is also for lukewarm Mormons. Those on this level will be taught the gospel of Joseph Smith and will remain unmarried and without exaltation until a worthy Mormon on earth performs the essential ordinance of baptism for them. So they're in a second heaven and they could be removed from there and exalted by the baptism of loved ones on earth. And then the third level, and this is actually the end of the lesson, the third level of heaven concerning the Mormons is the exaltation level. This level is for the faithful and obedient Mormons and is called paradise. These will become gods and will have many wives and will produce spirit children. They will continue throughout eternity begetting children by polygamous marriages, which in turn will, those who believe in Mormonism on the earth will practice polygamy so they may embody these spirit babies. It's just a crazy heresy the Mormon church is. Now, the Bible does mention something about three heavens, our Bible that God has left for us. You remember when Paul was given the thorn in the flesh, he says he was caught up to the third heaven. I just want to make this clear that what he's referring to is, yes, there's three heavens in this particular sense I'm about to mention. The first heaven, biblically, has to do with the birds of the air. The fowls of the air, the birds of the air, the open air, everything that's in the air. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is outer space. It's the planet, the solar system, and all of that. That's the second heaven. And then the third heaven is the abode of God. And so Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. Of course, he was speaking in the third person. But he said he was caught up into the third heaven. He's seen and heard things and it's not lawful for him to talk about. And so don't get that confused with the three levels of heaven that the Mormons believe. Tonight I want to keep it more condensed if I possibly could, just because of the exhaustive study that it is. Not exhausting, but exhaustive. It's just a whole lot to mention in a small amount of time. And again, we will probably next Wednesday give a little quiz on this. And really, it's for the sole purpose of creating your own notes to have. And so if you made some notes tonight, that's great. But we'll review next Wednesday and go over in quiz form what we went over tonight. Again, the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you, Lord, for who you are, for the things that you do. Lord, I know it's hard to digest and remember all of this. More importantly than remembering this is remembering your word. And that's the whole point, is just studying out and finding out why we believe what we believe. But to also look upon these cult religions that are active in our communities so that we can know how to combat that when we may come into contact with them. I pray that you'd just help us remember, Lord, the truths from your word. Remember what these others believe. And God, give us the boldness. Give us the courage. Let us take advantage of opportunity to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. And Father, we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory for opening that door and for giving us boldness to witness. We love you tonight and we praise you and thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, any questions or any comments tonight? Again, we're going to move on to a third one on next Wednesday, Lord willing. We're going to talk about Islam, and you know, you could spend a month on just one of these, but I don't want to spend too much time in this because I want us to just recognize that they are in our community, but at the same time, I want to get us back to studying verses in the Bible. And so this is just a neat little study I wanted us to look at for a few Wednesdays. All right. Any questions, any comments? Okay. All right. You're dismissed. Have a blessed night.